Blog Talk Radio.
I'm glad I don't look like what I've been through. All right? Look at somebody and say, I'm glad I don't look like what I've been through. No, you said it to the wrong person. Grab the person behind you and tell them, say, hey, you. I'm glad I don't look like what I've been through. Come on, Uncle Richard, please. Let's do it.
I'm inspiring and encouraging you all day long. Jesus in the Morning Radio with Barbara.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bishop White, this morning, I don't look like what I've been through. Hallelujah, I thank God for that. Bishop Richard White, we called him Mr. Clean. Yeah, he always sharp. And we thank God for him this morning and that song. I thank God for Brother Justin Gilmore because he was the one who sent it to me. And I love that song. I want to record it today on a CD and so I can ride with it. Yeah, when I'm driving down the street, I'll be playing this song. Yeah, I told the Lord years ago when he blessed me with a new car or a new SUV, I would play John P. Key in there, and I would play only gospel music in the truck because it's his. And he blessed me with what he had. He gave me what I wanted. And so I think it's just only worthy to play what he likes. Yeah, what encourages me to lift him up, what encourages me to praise his name. Hallelujah. His name is even a name where the righteous can run in and be saved. And how many believe this? Our faith, he will count your faith in him as righteousness. He counted Abraham's faith as righteousness. I feel all right right there. I feel all right right there because God is faithful to us in spite of us. He made us. He know all about these crazy thoughts and crazy ways we have. He know the crazy stuff we've done and we will do. And sometimes we're doing right now crazy things. He already knows. But because we believe, he counted as righteousness. Our faith. That's why faith is so important with God. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. And those of us that come to him, we came believing that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And that's the key right there. Diligently, continually, always, continuing, never stop seeking him. Amen goes right there this morning. I feel all right. Yeah. I love all kind of ways. I love the Pentecostal ways. I love the apostolic ways. Yeah. Even the ways of the Baptists. Yeah, they church service. As long as we praising God, as long as the name of Jesus is being lifted up. Yeah, I can flow with you if you lifted up the name of Jesus. Because you see, one day every knee is going to bow to him and every tongue. I don't care what religion you are. I don't care what color you are. I don't care where you come from. There's a day coming when every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord of Lords. He is King of Kings. Hallelujah. He is the Son of the true and living God that God sent back to prepare a place for us, that where he is, we may be also one day. Amen goes right there this morning. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm happy in Jesus. He has blessed me with much. He has even placed people in my life to show me, hey, you thought nobody didn't love you? Look at this one over here. You thought nobody was on your side? Oh, okay, well, look at Dr. Goodman over here. Hey, look at Irene. Did you check out Jerry? Huh? Are you looking at Louis? Yeah. He's that kind of God. I put people in your life that love me. They love me. And as long as you got me, as long as you talking about me, as long as you represent me, they're going to be right there with you until the end. Because they love me. Hallelujah. And you're talking and doing what concerns me. Hallelujah. I'm excited right there this morning. God is faithful to us if we'll open our eyes to see. And I know a lot of us, we continue on and we don't look at that, but he brings the sun out. He brings the moon out at night. He let the stars twinkle. He keep changing the seasons for us. He keep changing winter to spring, spring to summer, summer to fall, year after year after year. He keep the trees growing and changing leaves so we can breathe. And, oh, he just bless us over and over and over. He keep the sky over us. Huh? Bring rain to water the land. Ah, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Nobody planted grass, but grass keep growing. That's God. And that's not all he will do. That's not all he will do or he is doing. If you look at you, he kept you here. Hey, glory, hallelujah, Jesus. He kept us here. We yet have a chance to get it right with him. We could have been dead and gone. No more chances. No more time to get it right. No more work to be done. But he kept us here. And we got an opportunity to love somebody. And we don't love people for the way they look. We love them because God is love. And it's a heart thing. Have nothing to do with your outer appearance. We could care less about that. It's that heart. Some of us, God, are using us to draw others to him in love by the way that we treat them. And it's real. It's nothing fake. We're not expecting anything from them other than for them to see God loves you. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's it. I tell you, I went Saturday night to a banquet. It was supposed to be a church banquet. And I got to be honest with y'all. I somewhat came out the church building. You know, I go when God send me. I go. But for the most part, I come out of there. And I work unto the Lord every day. Every day, Sunday, Monday, every day. I don't do the show every day. The weekend I take Saturday and Sunday off to rest up and prepare for the next week. But every day I work unto the Lord. I'm never off. I never take a day off from working unto him. Because the harvest is plenteous, but the labors are few. But I decided to, you know, not be so much in the church building as I am out here serving others. I just don't understand what happened to the church. The leadership of the church, too, because of this. That's who people follow, the leadership of the church. And especially when they don't have a full relationship, or should I say a relationship with God for themselves, they don't have that. So they follow the pastor. They follow the leadership of the church. And what I'm seeing more and more of is entertainment, having a good time, partying, you know. Look, let me tell you something. This is not the hour to play church. This is not the hour to play with God. This is not the hour to forget his word. Listen. He said this, I did not say it, I didn't inspire man to write it, I wasn't there, but I believe it. His words said, come out from among them and be ye separated. You be separated from the world. Let me tell you, the reason the world have no respect for the house of God or the people of God anymore, because they see the same thing that they're doing with these people. If I'm going to dress like a prostitute and I say I'm the evangelist, well, here's a woman over here that's in the world. She's been dressing like that. Why would she change? Because the leadership got on stilettos. The leadership looked like the world. They got the weave and the blonde and the red and all these color hairs and blue hair. But we say we preachers. The scripture said we in the world, but we're not of the world. And the Lord allowed me to go to some things so that I can see, so that I can stay on the right path with him, on the right page. And I see why a lot of people are messed up, because the leadership, they're not leading them to God. They're leading them away. And look, you can say what you want, but God hears what you say, but he's looking at what you're doing. And I teach the people to get saved. I teach the people to get anointed. I teach the people to allow God to separate them, set them aside. I teach the people about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and what it does in you. You got to have the Holy Spirit, because if you don't, who's leading and guiding you? The Holy Spirit is a leader. It guides. It teaches. It brings things back to your remembrance. You may have forgotten what the words say. It'll bring it back to you. Don't do that, Barbara. Don't say that to them. Vengeance is mine. Yeah. Thank you, Brother Lewis. Corinthians 6 and 17 says this. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separated, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Did you hear that? Revelations 8 and 4 says this, chapter 18, verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sin, and that ye receive not of her plagues, Jezebel. He told him he had an alt with him over there. He had fought with him because they let this woman in there. Let me tell you something. I've never seen so much witchcraft in my life. But he said this, disobedience is as witchcraft. And if it's witchcraft, it's not God. It's of the devil. It's evil. We want to obey the word of God. We want to show God we love him more than anything else. We want to show God we're willing to lay us down and pick him up and keep him. Greater is he, the scripture says, that lives in you than he that is in the world. He's in you. You got to keep him stirred up. You got to feed him. He really is just like us. If we don't get the right vegetables, we don't get the right fruits, you know, vitamins, minerals, nutrients, we won't live. We'll die. If we don't drink water in a certain amount of days, we die. If we don't eat food in a certain amount of time, we die. But now, if we feed him, if we feed him in prayer through the word of God, obedience, serving others, showing love, we feed the spirit man. He'll grow in us. Samuel 15 and 23 says, rebellious is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. Yeah, I remember Samuel went over there and told Saul that. And the same thing for us. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Because we disobedient, we won't do right. We want to be prideful and proud and stubborn, and you know, I'm not going to tell them I'm sorry. I'm not giving them nothing. Let them suffer. We can't do all of that and say we Christians, we following Christ, we believers, we godly. We got to watch as well as pray our own actions, because sometimes we get too far away. This is why I'm careful what I watch on TV, careful of the movies I watch. Yeah, it's easy to pick up some things. I remember a friend of mine, this young lady, every 2 weeks she used to take me to get my nails done when I was calling myself getting nails done to the nail shop, you know. Like other women, I didn't have to go. I had natural nails. And they grow super long and they nice and hard. But I was going over there. And she would pay for it. And she had to take a trip to Miami, and she said, "You want to go?" I said, "Yeah." I was in Kissimmee at the time, Kissimmee, Florida. I said, "Yeah, I want to ride to Miami and do some shopping." She said, "Okay." She said, "But listen, we're going to the flea market, but when we get there, please don't touch stuff. Be careful what you touch." She said, "Because a lot of these people have utility guards. And if you touch them guards, they'll follow you." Well, see, what she didn't know is greater is he that lives within me than he that is in the world. What was going to happen, the utility guards was going to start running. That's what they were going to do because of who was in me. And God was not going to let me touch anything that I wasn't supposed to. But see, when you don't have greater in you and you don't know about greater and you don't know about power, love, and a sound mind, you think of these things. See, because you're trying to protect you. "But yet though I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil." Why is that, Barbara? "Thou art with me." Who is thou art? Almighty God. Yeah. His angels. Angels of protection. Yeah. "He even prepared a table before me in the presence of mine own enemies." But I got to be focused in this way to remember these things and to stay in this and to know that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He's a rewarder of them that stay with him. He's a rewarder of them that praise him. He's a rewarder of those that lift him up, study his word, love others, hoping to take care of others and do something for somebody else. When you turn around, God has blessed you tremendously because your mind wasn't just on you, but it was on blessing somebody else. But I see all of this, and I saw all of this with church folks. And Erica went with a friend of mine, and I had her laugh, and I said, "Erica, the church people out there doing the electric slide. I don't know if all of them was church people, but the way I saw them dress, I thought I was in the Mark 5 nightclub. I'm just honest. I'm just honest. And y'all know I'll come back and give you a true report." Yeah. A true report of what I saw. And I said, "Oh, no, I can't be over here because they're going to make me relax and they're going to make me want to be like the world, and I'm going to be doing worldly things, and I'm not able to do that. He's been too good for me. I have to stay with him." Yeah. And I'm praying more because I have to be a blessing to others. And a lot of things happening to people because folk are not praying. Brother Anthony sent me an article yesterday about the monkey. Is it called Monkey Pox, Brother Lewis, down in South Florida? Miami, Fort Lauderdale area. And he had told me before that, he said, he spoke out him a plan, he said, "But all this stuff coming about because we're not praying." And I'm with him when he's right. And I asked the Lord to forgive me. "Lord, forgive me if I haven't been praying enough." Because man ought to always pray and not faint. It's called monkey pox. So somebody went to Africa and come back, because that's where, you know, hang out at. And they went to Africa, and when they come back to the United States, they brought this. And, you know, Miami, Orlando, those are places in Florida where there's heavy flying, you know, traffic, you know, going all over the world, you know, to catch other flights and stuff, Miami and Orlando. I know those are two cities that have a lot of flight traffic. So somebody come back down through there and brought it and passed it on to somebody else, so they ended up in the hospital. Yes, Texas and New York too. Houston, Texas, yes, Chicago too, Brother Lewis. These are heavy flying traffic areas. You know, people flying all over, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, that kind of thing. But we know God is able to keep us safe. And I pray that nobody in my area get it. Not because I'm afraid that I'll get it, but I just don't want nobody to suffer in that way. So we keep everything lifted in prayer. Keep our leadership of this country in prayer. Keep the people of America in prayer. Yet we keep all of this covered. Our brothers and sisters overseas, we keep them in prayer. Yeah. But Lewis, they're two positive cases. Florida is only suspected so far. Okay. Okay. But I was reading something else yesterday. But anyway, God is faithful to us, and all we do is stand for him. And after standing, we stand some more, because we're standing on a solid foundation, a sure foundation, which is his word. It won't cave in. It won't break. It won't give in. Yeah. And his word is sharper than any two-edged sword. So we're grateful unto him this morning. Listen, we're going to one more song. And when we come back, we are coming back with our morning prayer and with our morning scripture today. We're coming out of 1 Samuel, the 21st chapter. Yeah, we're going to start in the 21st chapter today, and we're going to keep going until we finish the book of 1 Samuel. And we may take a break and then come back to 2 Samuel. Yeah, and I hope that we are remembering these scriptures and we're remembering what took place here. Yeah. It all started with Israel wanting a king because the Philistines would come and take over. Yeah. Make them slaves and kill them, beat them up, all kind of stuff. But instead of them wanting God, they was disobedient. That's why this happened to them. The Philistines was able to take over because you done left God and you got your own God now. You got some kind of brick you worshiping. You worshiping a head of lettuce. Yeah, you worshiping a cow, a dog, a rat, a rabbit. You know, you're not worshiping the true and living God that made you for his pleasure. So all kind of things that happen when we don't give him what he needs because we standing on our own. I learned a long time ago, I can't make it without him. And without him, I can do nothing. I need him for everything. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ah, yeah. So let's go to this one. And when we come back, we'll come back with our morning prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Declaring the word.
This is the kind of radio you need. Yes, Jesus in the Morning Radio. Bold radio for real people.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. These are the days of Elijah. Hallelujah. We want to prepare for God. That's what we want to do daily. We want to remember to prepare for him because we know not the day nor the hour when he will return. And we want to be ready to go back with him. Yeah, we don't want to have our gowns on and our tuxedos on men. And we don't have our shoes ready. Yeah, the bride, she don't have her veil ready. Yeah, her veil, her shoes missing, her jewelry missing. Kind of wedding she doing here. The men, they don't have their shoes. They come a bond. They didn't get their hair cut. What is going on? No watch or nothing. He don't have the ring for the bride. You all out of place. You all messed up. But we want to have everything. We want to have our gown tailored made. Our shoes made. We get married. Or we go into a great wedding. And we're waiting for the groomsmen to come. The bridegroom to show up. And it's going to be a great celebration. After the marriage. After the wedding. A great celebration. He said he would come back. And he's coming back looking for his church without spot or wrinkle. Yes, he is. That's what he's looking for. He's coming back looking for us. We're the church. And after everything is said and done, we're going to have a celebration. He's going to judge. Yeah. It's going to be a beautiful day for the saints of God, the believers. Hallelujah. So we thank him this morning. Let's pray. Let's pray the prayer of faith this morning because it's that prayer of faith that makes us whole. And we don't have to beg and groggle or anything like that. His word said, ask and it'll be given. Hallelujah. So all we simply do is ask him, believe him. We come boldly before the throne of grace to make our petition known unto him. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. Thank you for a new week beginning. Thank you for bringing us through a blessed weekend. And Father, we give you glory this morning. We give you the honor and we give you the praise, for there's none like you. You're almighty God that have all the power. Father, there's no higher power. You're on our side today in spite of us. We thank you this morning. You're looking beyond our fault and yet meeting our needs. We thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. You blessed us to be here. We could be dead and gone. But Lord, you allowed us to live, and we thank you this morning. Thank you for the use and activity of limbs. Thank you for life, health, and strength. Father, we thank you for one more day. Hallelujah. And without you, we can't make it. You said, cast our cares upon you, for you care for us. And we come this morning casting our cares upon you. We come asking, Father, that you would bless every caller and every listener, those coming through the podcast and the archives. We come asking that you would bless every family member and every friend. And Lord, even family members that have separated from one another, we ask that you would bring them back together in love. And Lord, never let the bond be broken again. Don't let us have eyes of pride and proud, and don't let us be ashamed of what you have allowed us to go through, because you brought us out and we have a testimony unto you today. Help us to talk of your wondrous works and make known your deeds among the people. Help us not to be selfish, always coming to you for your blessings, but never willing to be a blessing to others. We're never willing to truly obey your word. We just want more and more of what you can give to us. Help us to be your people today, a godly people, not just a church-going people, but a godly, word-walking, faith-believing people, are people that lift you up for you, not lift you up because we want something from you. Or we want people to think that we are holy. But God, help us to lift you up because you're truly worthy. This morning I say, Father, you're more than worthy. You're more than. Because you do uncommon things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. So we bring all our cares to you. We bring everyone that is sick this morning, everyone that's not feeling well, those that have diseases, God, those that have illnesses. You heal all manner of sickness and disease. We bring it before you. And we ask that you would touch and heal today. You took a beating of the healing, for the healing of the nation. You're almighty God who have all power. There's nothing too hard for you to do. Heal your people today, Father. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And Father, we come asking those that are in prisons and jail, though everywhere that's incarcerated, we ask that you would set free this morning through your son, Jesus, for whom the son set free is free indeed. And our brothers and sisters, Lord, that's walking with you in prisons and jails, strengthen them in this hour. And Lord, lift them up, encourage them, and let them continue to lift you up so that you can use them, and God, it's you that will draw. Hallelujah unto you. Bless those that are in every branch of our military. Father, bless widowers and bereaved family. Bless those that are feeling lonely, God. Let them know that you're right there with them. You'll never leave them nor forsake them. Father, you will be with them until the end. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless intercessory prayer people everywhere, praying for others in the name of Jesus. Bless Israel and prosper Jerusalem. Father Lucia, angels, your protecting angels to stand watch, to shield and protect, keep them from all hurt, harm, or danger. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, bless our brothers and sisters everywhere overseas. Those that are in special situations where they can't pray out loud, they can't mention your name, they can't mention your word. God, I ask that you would loose your protecting angels to stand watch, shield, and protect them. Father, keep them from all hurt, harm, or danger. Move by your spirit for them today that more will come unto you in the name of Jesus. Even children, God, hallelujah. Move today in a mighty way. Father, help us to be more serious with you in this hour. Because we see what's going on. The time is even nearer of your return. And God, you wish that none should perish. And Lord, if we'll stand up for you, many will come unto you. Lord, even in the church, they won't stay with you so that those here will come. They take it back to the world. But God, you know what's best for all of us. Move by your spirit and forgive us this morning, God. Forgive us for every sin. Forgive us for every wrongdoing. Forgive us for procrastination. Lord, forgive us for forgetting. Have mercy upon us. Because we've allowed something else to replace you and replace the work that we could do unto you. Forgive us this morning and help us, Lord, and stir up your gifts in us in the name of Jesus. Help us not to be a people of entertainment, but help us to be a people of praise and worship. Help us to be a people that want to share your goodness with others, talk of your wondrous works, and make known your deeds among the people. Oh, do it for us today. Lord, we want to be your church that you're coming back looking for. Fix our hearts and regulate our minds. Help us to let this mind be in us that was also in your son, Christ Jesus. Father, he wanted to please you. He obeys you, and we want to please you this morning, and we want to obey you. We want to do what's pleasing and acceptable unto you, Almighty God. Lord, do it for us this morning. Lord, we love you today. We love you, and again, without you, Father, we can do nothing. Help us this morning. We know that you're willing. The Spirit is indeed willing. Lord, many times the flesh is weak. But we need your strength. We need you, God, to strengthen us to obey in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you would bless the leadership of America. Lord, anything that shouldn't be in the leadership, God, we ask that you would remove it. Let nothing fake be happening. Let everything be the truth, God, according to your will. In the name of Jesus, bless this segment of Jesus in the Morning. Have your way here. Bless your people today. Move for your people like never before this day in your word, in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Give it to us, Lord. For without you, we'll perish. Oh, help us to understand. Give us your wisdom, wisdom of your word, the way you want us to apply it to our everyday life. In the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Jesus. We can't say thank you enough. Oh, we ask it all again in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, we thank God this morning. He's on our side today. And we give him glory. We give him the honor. And we give him the praise. I trust him. I trust him with my life. Yeah, I trust him with everything. Yeah, he kept me safe. Yeah, through the coronavirus, through the COVID, he kept me safe. And I can't say I always did safety things. And I can't always say I wasn't around people who didn't have COVID. But no calamity came near my dwelling because of him. Yeah. And because he lives, hallelujah, I can face tomorrow. I can face every day. I can face any day and any year because he lives. And see, my life is hid in him now. Yeah. Now that I have him, I'm his and he's mine. My life is hid in him. And life is worth the living just because he lives. If he wasn't living, it wouldn't be worth it. I wouldn't be here, and if I was, it would be the worst life ever. Yeah. But because he lives, hallelujah, all we all can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. See, I know he holds my future, and my life is worth the living just because he lives. Yeah, God sent his son. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel all right. His name, Jesus. Hallelujah. And glory to his majesty. Yeah, I get excited about that thing. I feel like running, hollering, lifting my hands to tell him thank you. Yeah, the songwriter says, you don't know like I know what God has done for me. You can't tell it. I got to tell it what God has done for me. Because it don't mean as much to you as it means to me because he did it for me. Hallelujah. Just for me. Just for me. When you start passing out blessings, Lord, stop by and bless me. When you start passing out miracles, Lord, stop by and do it for me in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. This is what we got to tell him. It's a one-on-one. It's called personal relationship with him. Everybody don't have it. Because, again, some people go to church and they lay it by the leadership of the church. They have not found God. Been going for years, but they have not found God for themselves because they depended on leadership. We want to depend on God. We want to depend on the Holy Spirit. We want to depend on his word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Because his spirit will lead and guide us into all truth. It won't lead you wrong. It won't lie to you. I've forgotten things that bring it back to my remembrance. And I was forgetting a lot on yesterday. And I figured it out. I said, oh, you done ate too much over the weekend. Yeah, you done ate a lot. So what I need to do is cut back. And I decided today is that day. Got to cut back. And so I'm working on that. Spoke with Pastor Howell yesterday, Brother Louis, and she's coming tomorrow. Yeah, she'll be here tomorrow on the show. So we thank God for her and all that he's doing over there. Yeah, she said something to me yesterday that really touched my heart concerning a son. And she said, I'll be 70 in a minute. Yeah. And it just touched my heart. But I let her know, you shall live, woman, and not die, to declare the works of the Lord. God is not through with you. Don't let, we ain't done that, no die. Nah. And if I go to sleep and don't wake up, that means my work is done. I'm good. But when my work is not done, I'm not going nowhere, for I shall live and not die, to declare the works of the Lord. Not the works of Barbara. Not seeing my children and grandchildren. And it's to declare the works of the Lord. Many times it's people I've never met before. They were strangers when I met them, but they became brothers and sisters in Christ. Yeah, I found that out. But I had to do the work of him that sent me. Yeah, he sent me. Hallelujah. And he sent them. And I'm so grateful this morning. So we thank him. We thank him, and we can't help but give him glory, give him honor and praise. And look, we are going to, and Sister Jerry, don't go nowhere. I got a dedication to you this morning and a shout out. Ah, yes, beautiful. Beautiful. Made my day yesterday when I read it. And so I'm thankful unto the Lord. So look, we're looking at 1 Samuel chapter 21. And we see what happened. We see that, you know, a lot of us, we don't really want God. We want his benefits, but we don't really, want him. We want the benefits, but we don't want to do right. Sometimes, you know, we got pride. And in the black community, many times it's that we want others to see. I don't know what it make us feel some kind of way, you know, like we on top. We got more than everybody else. We can do this like this. That's foolishness. And a lot of times they taking the house note money, the rent money, the car money, and doing all these things. They buying sneakers, tennis shoes that they can't afford. But that's so you can look at them and think they got, and they have nothing. But another thing is show me. It show me that they got faith, that they're going to make it. They're making minimum wages, but they got a $100,000 car. Or they bought a car for $30,000, $40,000, but they done put another $50,000 worth of work into it. Because they want people to see how good I ride and what I got. And I'm living the American dream. But I found out it's not that American dream I should be after. And I stopped chasing long years ago an American dream. And I began to chase how to live right before a holy God. Because that's what's most important. Because he's coming back one day and he's looking for the church without spot or wrinkle. Now, I said this to myself. If you got a hut with two palm trees, you good. Why? You got God. Anything you need, he can make it possible. I don't have to compete with the Joneses. I don't have to keep up with the Joneses. I don't have to look like everybody else. If anybody ever heard of Janet Jackson, she wrote a song that says, got my own mind. Want to make my own decisions. I got my own mind. And I want it to be like Jesus. Well, I should say I had my own mind, but I lost my mind and took on the mind of Christ. That's what I should say. Because I want to do what he did concerning the Father. American dream, that's going to pass away one day. Only what I do for Christ is going to last. Only what I do for God is going to last. Not the American dream going to last. But the word of God is going to last. Heaven is going to be there. You ain't got to worry about it going nowhere ever. And if you make it there, guess what? There's no more crying, no more dying, no more sadness, no more sickness. But we got to get there. And I can't get there on the American dream. The only way I can get this far is through the blood of Jesus. He shed for me way back on Calvary. He died for me. So look, let's look at this. David and Saul. Saul wouldn't, you know, obey God. God gave him chance after chance. He brought Saul to be king. But not that he didn't know, but Saul just couldn't get right. Yeah, Saul just couldn't get right. So early on, God started looking to replace him. And he found the right candidate, David, the little shepherd boy. He saw that David had faith. And David trusted and believed in God. And he believed what his word said. So he blessed David to slay the giant to keep Israel from being embarrassed. From Israel being taken over by the Philistines and being made slaves. Yeah, they were going to suffer. They were going to kill them all and make slaves out of them and all kind of stuff. All kind of stuff come up. Yeah. And God began to use Saul in the initial stages of his kingship. But evidently Saul forgot who made him king. And he started acting like it was him. And we do that too a lot of times in life. God bless us when we start acting as if we blessed ourselves. Not so. Not true. Not so. Without him, we can do nothing. We can think what we want, but you're not doing anything. He got to do it. And if he's not doing it, it won't get done. Hallelujah. So we're looking at the 21st verse. And one more thing I want to say. Sometimes you're going through a trial, and the trial that you're going through is a down payment on your next level of anointing. You're down in the valley today, and it appears that you're wandering around down in the valley. But the trial that you're going through is going to bring you to the top of the mountain. It's just our mentality in the way we're thinking about this, because he said in his word, he wouldn't withhold no good thing from us. If we love him and we're obeying him, he called us. Some of us he chose. If we're doing good, what's right before him, he's not going to withhold nothing from you. But trials come, bad situations that feel bad that we're going through. It come to make us strong. It didn't come to punish us. It didn't come to embarrass us. But it comes to teach us about God and his ways. Because our ways are not his ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. As high as the heavens is from the earth, that's how different it is. So David is in a situation where it's about to bring him to kingship. Jonathan know it. Believe it or not, Saul know it. And of course, Samuel know it. Samuel was the one that God sent to David to anoint him as king. Yeah, as his vessel. Oh, and boy, David gonna love him. David gonna love God. But how many know sometimes we can love him and mess up real bad? Huh? We can love him and mess up real bad while we're human. This is why prayer, man ought to always pray and not think. Study, 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 study. Remember the word of God. Remember the word of God. Yeah. Because this is what's going to bring us on in. His word. Not the American dream. Not what we have. Not the way we look. No. That won't bring you. We got to have his son, Jesus. Hallelujah. So we're looking at 1 Samuel chapter 21. And we're about to see what's happening here. I know one sister, she she said, well, I just want to know this. I know you were this and that, but when are we getting back to the book of First Saul or whatever she said? You know what I'm talking about. I said, Samuel, yeah. When are we getting back there? Yeah, I want to learn. I want to know more. And Brother Anthony told me, he said, yeah, Sister Barbara, it's, oh, why this won't open up today? Y'all bear with me here. He said, it's good when you sharing it, you know, when somebody's sharing it with you and you listening and they talking about it and breaking it down, it just feels better. Okay, well, I noticed the parallel view. Okay, maybe I see what I did, y'all. I got to go to the basic English Bible, and I was going somewhere. I don't know where I was going, but it wasn't there. All right, so we got the King James Version on one side, and then we got the basic English Bible on the other. And we're in chapter 21 of 1 Samuel. And this is what it says. Then David came to Nob. Ahimelech, the priest, y'all know them names, get me. And Ahimelech was full of fear at meeting David and said to him, why are you by yourself, having no man with you? Yeah. The priest was afraid of him. He had heard all about what was going on. Saul was after David to kill him. Yeah. In verse 2, it says, and David said to Ahimelech, the priest, the king has given me orders and has said to me, say nothing to anyone about the business on which I am sending you and the orders I have given you. And a certain place has been fixed to which the young men are to go. So David telling the priest, nobody's with me because I'm on a special assignment from the king, and he's sending me by myself with, you know, just a few men, and we can't be exposed. We can't let nobody see them. But he's telling them all of this because the priest is afraid of David, and David got some stuff going on too. Yeah, he don't want Saul to know where he's at. So in verse 3, it says, so now, if you have here 5 cakes of bread, give them into my hand, or whatever you have. And the priest answered David, said, I have no common bread here, but there is holy bread. If only the young men have kept themselves from women. Verse 5 says, and David in answer said to the priest, certainly women have been kept from us. And as has been done before, when I have gone out, the armies of the young men were made holy. Even though it was a common journey, how much more today will their arms be made holy? Yeah, I didn't see no men with David. David was alone. And the priest said he was. But he said this to the priest to make him think there are others with him. Again, because the priest heard about Saul and what he wanted to do to David. Yeah. So, in verse 6, it says, so the priest gave him the holy bread. There was no other, only the holy bread which had been taken from before the Lord so that new bread might be put in its place on the day when it was taken away. They switched it out, took out the old bread and put it over here and brought new fresh bread in there. 7 says, now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, kept back before the Lord. His name was Doeg, an Edomite, the strongest of Saul's runners. Verse 8 says, and David said to Ahimelech, have you no sword or spear with you here? But I have come without my sword and other arms because the king's business had to be done quickly. That's the excuse he's giving him why he don't have a sword. Because everybody knew David for fighting. Verse 9 says, and The priest said the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, look at this, whom you put to death in the valley of Elah, is here folded in a cloth at the back of the ephod. Take that, if you will, for there's no other sword here. And David said, there is no other sword like that. Give it to me. 10 says, then David got up and went in flight that day for fear of Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servant of Achish said to him, is not this David the king of the land? Did they not make songs about him in their dances, saying Saul has put to death thousands and David 10,000, David tens of thousands? Verse 12 says, and David took these words to heart, fearing Achish, the king of Gath. Verse 13 says, so changing his behavior before them, he made it seem as if he was off his head, hammering on the doors of the town and letting the water from his mouth go down his chin. He started acting like he was crazy, like he was lunatic, like he had lost his mind. 14 says, then Achish said this, said to his servant, look, the man is clearly off his head. Why have you let him come before me? Look, the man is clearly crazy. He done lost his mind. Why y'all gonna bring him for me to see him? Verse 15 says, and there are not enough unbalanced men about me that you have let this person come and do such tricks before me. It's such a man to come into my house. You done brought this man off his rocker. Men about me that you have let this person come to do such tricks before me. It's such a man to come in my house. Such a, the man messed up. He done lost his mind. He don't know what he's doing. You done brought him here to show me the tricks that he's doing, how bad a shape he is. I don't want to see this. He's not coming in my house. Y'all get somewhere. Y'all take him on. I'll go on with him, but not over here. A kid said, not so. Not today. Oh, I love it. I love it. So we're moving on to verse 22. 1 Samuel chapter 22. And we're starting at verse 1. Here I go again with the power thing now. Just messing up. Wait a minute. I got excited. All right, here we go. So in chapter 22, verse 1, it says, so David went away from there and took cover in a strong place at Adullam. And his brothers and all his father's people, hearing of it, went down to him there. Mm-hmm. Y'all bear with me. Oh, that's wonderful. Okay. So in verse 2, it says that, and everyone who was in trouble and everyone who was in debt and everyone who was bitter in soul came together to him, and he became captain over them. About 400 men were joined to him. You see this? David getting an army together now. Everybody that had problems, legal problems, you know, they done did something to my family. I'm sad and I can't undo what they did. I'm going to join David. I done killed a man and it was self-defense, but they not going to see it like that. I'm going to join David. Yeah. About 400 joined him. Verse 3 says, and from there, David went to Mizpah in the land of Moab. And he said to the king of Moab, let my father and mother come and make their living place with you till it is clear to me what God will do for me. Did you hear that? Until it is clear to me what God will do for me. Hallelujah. We got to wait on it. We got to make sure it's his will what we're doing. Verse 4 says, and he took them to the king of Moab, and they went on living with him while David was in his safe place. Yeah, sometimes we have to get in a safe place. Verse 5 says, and the prophet Gad said to David, do not go on living in this place, but go into the land of Judah. Then David went away and came to the woodland of Hereth. Verse 6 says, And news was given to Saul that David had been seen and the men who were with him. Now Saul was in Gibeah, seated under the tree in the high place with his spear in his hand, and all his servants was in their places before him. Verse 7 says, then Saul said to his servants who were there about him, give ear now, you Benjamites. Will the son of Jesse give to every one of you fields and vine gardens? Will he make you all captains of hundreds and captains of thousands? Oh, now Saul bribing. Now he telling them, look, the son of David, son of Jesse, David is not taking care of y'all. He's not giving y'all gardens and fields and land, and he's not making y'all captains or nothing. I'm putting you over stuff. Verse 8 says that all of you have made designs against me. Now look at this nut. And not one of you gave me word when my son made an agreement with the son of Jesse. And not one of you has pity for me or has made my eyes open to the fact that my servant has been moved by my son against me as at this day. Remember, he got that evil spirit, them evil spirits that come up in him. And when you don't have God, this is the way you think. You think people against you when they're not. You think people are for your enemy when they're not for your enemy. They come with you to battle your enemy, but you telling them they with your enemy and what they didn't tell you about your enemy. And my own child. Y'all knew my child was against me, then sided with my enemy. Y'all knew it, but wouldn't tell me. Them people didn't know any of that. They didn't know that. But their evil spirit is in them. And when we got evil in us, we'll do all kinds. How many ever seen a man accuse his wife of doing some crazy stuff when the woman haven't done anything? And he'd tell her, yeah, and you got your son and your daughter cloaking for you. She's like, what? Cloaking how? Oh, you get ready to go see the man. You take the kids with you. And act like, if you take the kids, you're not going to see your boyfriend. And then you tell the kids, don't tell your dad. That's so far from the truth. Oh, my goodness. So this one of them situations with Saul. Them evil spirits in him. Evil is working. So verse 9 says, then Doeg the Edomite, who was by the side of the servants of Saul, in answer said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub. Somebody had to tell this evil king something. 10 says, and he got directions from the Lord for him and gave him food and put in his hands the sword of Goliath, the Philistine. Verse 11 says, then the king sent to Ahimelech, the priest, the son of Ahitub, and for all the men of his father's family who were priests in Nob. And they all came to the king. Verse 12 says, and Saul said, give ear now, O son of Ahitub. And answering, he said, here I am, my lord. 13 says, and Saul said to him, why have you made designs against me with the son of Jesse, giving him food and a sword and getting directions from the Lord for him and helping him to take up arms against me and to be on the watch to make a secret attack on me as he is doing now? That was so far from the truth. David didn't give them 400 men to put attack on Saul. Them men came to David because they had issues. They couldn't pay their debt. They didn't want to go into slavery, so they ran. Somebody accused them of something. They wasn't guilty, but if they knew they would be found guilty when they was innocent, they ran. And they knew David had power because David was a fighter, tens of thousands he had killed. And he knew how to lead an army. So they ran to him. But this was far telling the priest. And the priest didn't know because David said he was on a special assignment from the king. But when you don't got, when you don't have God, you'll think on your own and you'll be so far off, it's pathetic. And you'll mess yourself up. Look at this now. At 14 it says, then Ahimelech answered and said to the king, who among all your servants is so true to you as David? You don't remember David went out and killed Goliath for you. You don't remember he went and killed tens of thousands of men for you. He played the harp for you. He ate at your table. You asked his daddy, Jesse, could he come over there and stay? Yeah, so who? It's so true, truer than David. Who is the king's son-in-law? There you go. This your family. You gave your daughter to him to marry. And is a captain of your armed men. And has a place of honor in your house. How would I know he has become your enemy? 15 said, is this the first time I have got directions from God for him? This is what the priest asked in Saul now. Is this the first time I went to God for David? Far be the thought. Let the king make no such statement against his servant or my father's family. For your servant has no knowledge, great or small, of this thing. Don't be against us. We didn't know. We didn't know David had become your enemy. 16 says, and the king said, you will certainly be put to death. That evil don't care. You hear me? Ahimelech, you and all your father's family killed his daddy's family. 17 says, then the king said to the runners who were waiting near, put the priest of the Lord to death. I would have been scared of that right there. Put the priest of the Lord to death. But see, when evil in you, you don't have no respect. Because they are on David's side and have a knowledge of his flight. Did not give me word of it. But the king's servant would not put out their hands to make an attack on the Lord's priest. And I wouldn't have either. No sir, no man. 18 says, then the king said to Doeg, you ought to put the priest to death. And Doeg the Edomite, turning on the priests and attacking them, put to death that day 85 men who took up the ephod, who were priests in the house of the Lord. They killed 85 of them on Doeg, the Edomite, off Saul's orders. Yeah. 19 says, in Nob, the town of the priests, he put to the sword all the men and women, children and babies at the breast, and oxen and asses and sheep. Killed all of them. Now, when God told me to go over there and kill the Amalekites, he couldn't obey. But that evil in him now, he can kill all these innocent people. 20 says, in Abiathar, one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, got away and went in flight after David. Yeah, he went and told. 21 said, and gave him the news of how Saul had put to death the Lord's priest. Verse 22 says, and David said to Abiathar, I was certain that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would take the news to Saul. I am responsible for the lives of all your father's family. 23 says, keep here with me and have no fear, for he who has designed on my life has designed on yours. For with me, you will be saved. Look, because remember Doeg was there, and he saw what David was getting from the priest. And when he got everything, Doeg ran back and told Saul, yeah. Now I got, had Doeg to kill all of them and the town of the priests. knob. Lord have mercy. So we're looking at verse 23 now. Starting chapter 23, starting at verse 1. And they sent word to David saying, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah and taking the grain from the grain floor. And David questioned the Lord, said, am I to go and make an attack on these Philistines? And the Lord said to David, go and make an attack on the Philistines so that Keilah may be kept from falling into their hands. Now, David is constantly seeking the Lord. And you out here just letting that evil just rule and reign in you, Psalm. And you killing innocent people that had nothing to do with the foolishness. Because, see, all that is jealousy. This is the basic English Bible. Yeah, I'm being asked where I'm reading from. This the, yeah, the basic English Bible. I went to the King James Version online, and when you click on 1 Samuel, the 23rd chapter, if you look to your far right, you'll see the parallel. Click on the parallel Bible, and then up top you can choose the basic English Bible from the drop-down menu and go from there. Yeah. So, and they sent word to David saying and told him what had happened. And David said it was all his fault. And he knew Doeg was there that day and would tell on him. And he went before the Lord now, and he asking the Lord, should he go out and fight the Philistines? And God told him, yeah, go ahead. And verse 3, it says, and David's men said to him, even here in Judah, we are full of fear. How much more than if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? See, they didn't know David. David was a warrior. He believed in bloodshed. Yeah. In verse 4, then David put the question to the Lord again. And the Lord answered and said, up, go down to Keilah, for I will give the Philistines into your hand. Verse 5 says, so David and his men went to Keilah and had a fight with the Philistines and took away their cattle, put them to the sword with a great destruction. So David was the savior of the people of Keilah. I mean of Keilah. I'm sorry, Keilah. Verse 6 says, now when Abithar, the son of Ahimelech, went in flight to David, he came down to Keilah with the ephod in his hand. Verse 7 says, all news was given to Saul that David had come to Keilah. And Saul said, now God has given him to my hand. For by going into a walled town with locked doors, he has let himself be shut in. Now you know that evil will speak to you and tell you a lie. Boy, that's what you want to hear anyway. So you believe in that lie that this evil is telling you. Yeah. Say the Lord done delivered David in his hand. He down there into a town that's walled with locked doors, and he can't get out and shut in. So in verse 8 it says, and Saul sent for all the people to come to the fight and go down to Keilah to make an attack on David and his men. Then he sent for all the people to come to fight. Everybody, let's go. Now, when David left there, I know Doeg told Saul, it's nobody but David. But this go to show you Saul know David. Yeah, that evil knowing. Do you know the devil know you? That devil know you. That devil know what you're capable of doing. He know you know the word. He know you believe in the power of prayer. Yeah. And he know you're not going to stay down. You might feel down, but you won't ever be knocked down because greater is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. So look, 9 says, and it was clear to David that Saul had evil designs against him. And he said to Abiathar, the priest, come here with the ephod. See, God left one priest there, or one man to pray. Hallelujah. Verse 10 says, then David said, O Lord, the God of Israel, news has been given to your servant that it is Saul's purpose to come to Keilah and send destruction on the town because of me. 11 says, and now, is it true as they have said to me that Saul is coming? O Lord, the God of Israel, give ear to your servant and say if these things are so. And the Lord said, he is coming down. He coming. 12 says, then David said, will the men of Keilah give me and my men up to Saul? And the Lord said, they will give you up. Get out of there. They will give you up. So they think they're going to spare their own life. 13 says, then David and his men, about 600 of them, went out of Keilah and got away wherever they were able to go. And Saul, hearing that David had got away from Keilah, did not go there. Yeah. 14 says, and David kept in the wasteland in safe places, waiting in the hill country in the wasteland of Ziph. And Saul was searching for him every day. Isn't that ridiculous? But God did not give him up into his hand. Now, my thought would have been this. I'm going to kill up a bunch of Philistines. But see, that evil was telling him to get rid of David because he thought if he got rid of David, David wouldn't become king. But you're not fighting David, Saul. You're fighting the true and living God that have all power. That's who you're fighting against. So in verse 15, it says, and David was full of fear in the knowledge that Saul had come out to take his life. And David was in the wasteland of Ziph and Horash. 16 says, and Saul's son Jonathan went to David in Horash and made his hands strong in God. 17 says, and said to him, have no fear, for Saul my father will not get you into his power. And you will be king of Israel. Didn't I tell you, Jonathan knew and Saul knew that David would become king. Oh, yeah, they knew. And I will be by your side, and my father Saul is certain of this. See, he knew, see? My father Saul is certain of this. That's why he want to kill you, David, because he feel like if he get rid of you, you won't be able to replace him. You won't take his place. But God got a purpose and a plan. And nobody is stopping the plan of God. Yeah. See, I thought it was just crazy. Yeah, yeah. Nobody's stopping the plan of God. Look here. They know you coming up. They know on the job, they know you're coming up. In your neighborhood, your neighbors know you coming up. Family members, they know you're coming up. In the industry you work, they know you're coming up, but they don't want you to come up because if you come up, they feel like you're going to replace them. But they know no matter what they do, you're going to come up, so they try to get rid of you. Sometimes that jealous demon will try and kill you. Yeah. 18 says, and the two of them made an agreement before the Lord. And David went on living in Horash, and Jonathan went back to his house. Then the Ziphites came up to Gibeah to see Saul and said, is not David living secretly among us in the strong places in Horash, in the hill of Hachilah, to the south of the wasteland? 20 says, so now, O king, have your soul's desire and come down, and we, for our part, will give him up into the king's hand. 21 says, and Saul said, the Lord's blessing will be yours, for you have had pity on me. Oh, that's a lie. 22 says, go now and take more steps and keep where he is living. But they say that he is expert in deceit. Boy, that evil. Let me tell you, that evil will make you think people are doing what you're doing. The person, the other person is not, it's you that's full of deceit and stuff, not David. But that evil spirit will make you think that David is the one deceitful when it's you. 23 says, so take care to get knowledge of all the secret places where he is taking cover, and be certain to come back to me, and I will go with you. And without doubt, if he is anywhere in the land, I will get him among all the families of Judah. 24 says, and they went back and came to Ziph before Saul. But David and his men were in the wasteland of Maon, in the dry land south of the wasteland. 25 says, and Saul and his men went in search of him. And David had word of it. So he came down to the rock in the wasteland of Maon. And Saul, hearing of this, went after David into the wasteland of Maon. Now, you know, this got to just be too much. You just one man. You just chasing all over after this one man because you don't want him to succeed you. You don't want him to take your place. And I'm telling you, you're not thinking. You can't think straight. All you can think about is killing him and getting him out of your way. Because evidently you think God can replace you. You know, you're going to do more than God can do. You're going to be more powerful than Almighty God that have all the power. Now, me personally, I don't think it's happening. I don't think that's the way it works. I just can't see Saul having more power than Almighty God, the one that made the heavens and the earth. I can't see that. But evidently, that's what he is thinking. He thinking he can outsmart God by killing David. Are you kidding me, Saul? Are you kidding me? And see, I know he gotta know better. But guess what? That evil won't give him no peace. Yeah. Evil done took over his mind. And let me tell you, when that thing take over your mind, sometimes you'll kill your mama or your daddy. That evil have people what they call paranoid. And that's what's wrong with Saul. He's paranoid. And he's just thinking that David is against him when it's him against David. He started it. David didn't do nothing to him. But that's that evil. And let me tell you, when that devil gets your mind, he don't just give it back. He don't just let you start back thinking right now. No, he keeps you going. He allow it to get worse and worse and worse. And you think it's you just thinking your normal way. No, you messed up. Yeah. So look, 26 says, if we do the fire and his men went in search of him. Okay. Yeah. 26 says, and Saul and his men went on one side of the mountain. Check this out now. And David and his men went on the other. And David's purpose was to get away as quickly as possible, for fear of Saul. But Saul and his men were making a circle round David and his men in order to take them. 27 says, but a man came to Saul saying, be quick and come, for the Philistines has made an attack on the land. And see, God always gonna have a ram in the bush. There will always be a way for you to escape evil. Just do what's right. And God is going to make a way for you to escape evil. Now look what he did. Here come the man to tell Saul, now you got to quit searching after this one man because of the whole bunch of Philistines back there tearing up the land. Yeah, and they not playing. You out here chasing behind one man. We need you to come on back and kill the rest of these real enemies. Yeah, because them Philistines, they were the real enemies of Israel. They couldn't do enough evil to them. So look, 28 says, so turning back from going after David, Saul went against the Philistines. So that place was named Selahammah-Lekoth. What? I wish somebody who really could pronounce that thing was here. 29 says, and from there, David went up and took cover in the safe place of Engedi. Yeah, Engedi. Yeah, David had to get somewhere. Boy, he ran. He hid him and his men one spot after another. Saul on one side of the mountain, him and his men, they on the other side of the mountain. My goodness. And Saul was not willing to give up now. He don't give up easy because he want David dead. Because he believes if he kills David, David will not get the kingship. But it's already done. God then took that from you. He then took the anointing from you, Saul, and gave it to David. And that's why David is famous. David came over there to the palace because he told him to come. Went over there to the palace. He knew how to behave himself. Carried itself like it was supposed in the eyes of the Lord. And then Saul found favor in him. But as he continued to watch David, he saw the anointing of God was on him. David was favored by Almighty God. Saul began to hate him. Yeah. Anybody seen the movie Tombstone? Doc Holliday said up in there about Johnny Ringo, nah, I really hate him. Yeah. So I really hate him now because he see. Oh, this the one that's going to replace me right here. He's the one going to replace me. Oh, I really hate him now. Remember he took the knife and throwed it at David, and David moved quickly, and the knife went into the wall. He missed David. He was going to kill him then. So over in verse 24 and verse 1, it says, now when Saul came back from fighting the Philistines, news was given him that David was in the wasteland of Engedi. Engedi, yeah. Verse 2 says, then Saul took 3,000 of the best men out of all Israel and went in search of David and his men on the rocks of the mountain goats. You're going to waste time and everything, energy, going after one man, but he knew. Verse 3 says, and on the way he came to a place where sheep were kept and where there was a hollow in the rock. And Saul went in for a private purpose. Now David and his men were in the deepest part of the hollow. Verse 4 says, and David's men said to him, now is the time when the Lord says to you, I will give up your hater into your hands to do with him whatever seems good to you. Then David, getting up, took the skirt of Saul's robe in his hand, cutting off the end of it without his knowledge. Do you see this? David then eased on that and cut a piece of Saul's robe, and Saul didn't even know it. Yeah. In the King James Version, chapter 5 says, and it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's robe. So David felt bad for doing that. Over in the Basic English Bible, verse 5 says, and later David was full of regret for cutting off Saul's robe. Verse 6 says, and David said to his men before the Lord, never let it be said that my hand was lifted up against my Lord, the man of the Lord's selection, for the Lord's holy oil has been put on him. See, he was still calling Saul God's anointed, because God did. He chose Saul, and he had Samuel to anoint him with his holy oil. But Saul had become disobedient. And the scripture told me, if you're disobedient, you don't belong to him. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So in verse 7, it says, so with these words, David kept his servants back and did not let them make an attack on Saul, because they could have killed him right there. And Saul got up and went on his way. In verse 8, it says, after that, David came out of the hollow rock and crying after Saul said, my lord, the king. And when Saul gave a look back, David went down on his face and gave him honor. Look at this now. Verse 9 says, and David said to Saul, why do you give an attention to those who say that it is my desire to do you wrong? Why are you listening to them evil spirits, in other words? Because that's who's telling you, I want to do you wrong. Why are you listening to that? You know, I don't have nothing against you. You still the king, my Lord. You yet God's anointed in my eyes. So verse 10 says, look, you have seen today how the Lord gave you up into my hands, even now in the hollow of the rock. Look at this. And some would have had me put you to death, but I had pity on you, for I said, never will my hands be lifted up against my Lord, who has been marked with the holy oil. 11 says, and see my father, see the skirt of your robe in my hand? For the fact that I took off the skirt of your robe and did not put you to death is witness that I have no evil purpose and I have done you no wrong, though you are waiting for my life to take it. I could have killed you over there, Saul. I could have messed you up real bad. You was in a spot. You had them 3,000 men down in that hollow with you. You went down in there to privately do whatever it was, whether it go to the bathroom, whatever you went down in there to do. And I could have knocked you off, Saul, but I didn't. I just cut a piece of your skirt off to show you what I could have done. If I was against you, I'm not against you. Yeah, I still see you as God's anointed. I still see you as my king and my Lord. But you want to kill me. See, I don't think David was understanding. You finna be king. He not going to kill you, but you still finna be king, David. And this king is trying to stop you from becoming king, from taking his place. He done got used to that, see. He done got used to giving orders, not taking them, but giving them. He done used to people taking care of him. And I tell this one to come and he come. And I tell that one to go and he go. He used to power now, David. And David don't know what that is yet, because he haven't experienced it. But he coming into power. He coming to be king. Oh, yeah. So look. 12 says, may the Lord be judge between me and you. And may the Lord give me my rights against you. But my hand will never be lifted up against you. Yeah. See, may the Lord bless me for doing what's right and having a right heart. And never will my hand be against you. I'm never going to touch you, Saul. I don't want to kill you. I don't want to do nothing wrong to you. Mm-hmm. 14 says, after whom has the king of Israel come out? For whom are you searching? For a dead dog, an insect? Who you wasting all this time on? 15 says, so let the Lord be judge and give a decision between me and you, and see and give support to my cause, and keep me from falling into your hand. Oh, look at him. David done asked the Lord for what he needed. 16 says, now when David had said these words to Saul, Saul said, is this your voice, David, my son? Look at these spirits with you. Anybody saw the movie Silver? They say she had a bunch of them things in her. So now here goes Saul with the foolishness. Saul said, is this your voice, David, my son? And Saul was overcome with weeping. Well, maybe the evil spirit had left him, and he was sorry for what he had did against David. Because, well, he got to Saul, David could have killed him, but he did. 17 says, and he said to David, you are right, and I am wrong. For you have not given me back good. No, for you have given me back good, but I have given you evil. And you have made clear to me how good you have been to me today. Because when the Lord gave me up into your hands, you did not put me to death. 19 says, if a man comes across his hater, will he let him get away safe? So may you be rewarded by the Lord for what you have done for me today. 20 says, and now I am certain that you will be king. You see, he knew. And that the kingdom of Israel would be made strong under your authority. I told you on the job, they already know. Your supervisor know you coming up. And not only are you going to replace him, but you're going past what he was. He was just a supervisor. Guess what? You're going straight up to management. Yeah. You're going to the top floor. He or she never did get there. But they see your potential, and they know that this is what's going to happen for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So 21 says, so give me your oath by the Lord that you will not put an end to my seed after me, or let my name be cut off from my father's family. And David gave Saul his oath, and Saul went back to his house. But David and his men went up to their safe place. He didn't trust Saul. Now you see the oath he wanted from David. Don't cut off from my father's family. Don't deceive after me, that next generation and the generation after that. Don't cut them off, David. Don't kill them. Don't do nothing to them. David agreed with that. Anybody remember Mephibosheth? The nurse was rushing with him. And fell with him, I think, and he crippled his foot. So they sent Mephibosheth over to Lodibar. It come up one day, and David said, well, is there any more of Saul's family living? And they said, yeah, Mephibosheth, he over in Lodibar. David sent and got him up out of Lodibar and brought him to the king's table. He said, Mephibosheth, you'll eat at the king's table every day. So he got to live in the palace. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So David agreed to it. He gave Saul his oath. And Saul went back to his house. But David and his men went up to their safe place. I think we got enough to get that next. So I'm going to just have to ease back on a little bit of the talking. All right. So we're looking at 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25 and verse 1, and I'm reading the basic English Bible. And death came to Samuel, and all Israel came together weeping for him, and put his body in his resting place, in his house at Ramah. Then David went down to the wasteland of Maon. In verse 2 it says, now there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel. He was a great man and had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was cutting the wool of the sheep in Carmel. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I like this right here. In verse 3, it says, now this man was named Nabal. And maybe Nabal, a Nabal. But I called him Nabal. And his wife's name was Abigail. She was a woman of good sense and pleasing looks. But the man was cruel and evil in his ways. He was of the family of Caleb, old Nabal. Yeah, he was something else. He was evil and cruel in his ways, it said. Verse 4 said, and David had word in the wasteland that Nabal was cutting the wool of his sheep. Verse 5 says, and David sent ten young men and said to them, go up to Carmel and go to Nabal and say kind words to him in my name. And say this to my brother, may all be well for you. Peace be to you and your house and all you have. That was verse 6. Verse 7 says, I have heard word that you have wool cutters. Now the keepers of your sheep have been with us, and we have done them no evil and taken nothing of theirs while they were in Carmel. Verse 8 says, if your young men are questioned, they will say the same thing. So now, let my young men have grace in your eyes, for we are come at a good time. Please give anything you may have by you to your servants and to your son David. Now, this is what David telling Nabal. And Okay. See, Art, I love you. So listen, Nabal with some foolishness. David done sent him a wonderful message. And he stayed there with his men all night to make sure his sheep cutting was safe. Nobody would rob him, you know, nobody would kill his men or nothing like that. Verse 9 said, and when David's young men came, they said all this to Nabal in David's name and said nothing more, only what David told them to say. Verse 10 says, and Nabal gave them his answer and said, who is David? Oh, my goodness, y'all. Why would this nut say such a nutty thing? Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There are a number of servants in these days running away from their master. Was Nabal lost his mind? Of course he had. You going to talk like this about David? And the men going to go back and tell David what you said? You're not no warrior. You're not a military man, Nabal. You don't have enough men on your premises to battle David. So look what 11 says, am I to take my bread and my wine and the meat I have got ready for my wool cutters and give it to men coming from I have no idea where? Do you hear this? 12 says, so David's young men turning away went back and gave him an account of everything he had said. Everything the boss said, they went back and told David. 13 says, and David said to his men, put on your sword, every one of you. And every man put on his sword, and David did the same, and about 400 men went up with David, and 200 kept watch over their goods. 14 says, but one of the young men said to Nabal's wife, Abigail, David sent men from the wasteland to say kind words to our master, and he gave them a rough answer. Yeah, this is what he's telling Nabal's wife, Abigail. 15 says, but these men have been very good to us. They did us no wrong, and nothing of ours was touched while we were with them in the field. 16 says, but day and night they were like a wall around us while we were with them looking after the sheep. 17 says, so now give thought to what you are going to do, for evil is in store for our master and all his house. For he is such a good-for-nothing person that it is not possible to say anything to him. Do you hear that? Yeah. In verse 18, it says, then Abigail quickly took 200 cakes of bread and 2 skins full of wine and 5 sheep ready for cooking and 5 measures of dry grain and 100 parcels of dry grapes. Them was raisins and 200 cakes of figs and put them on asses. 19 says, and she said to her young men, go on in front of me and I will come after you. But she said nothing to her husband, Nabal, because the boy told her, ain't no sense in saying nothing to this fool. Because no matter what you say, he ain't going to take heed to it. He going to act like a fool. So now 20 says, now while she was going down under cover of the mountain on her ass, David and his men came down against her. And suddenly she came face to face with them. Now David has said, what was the use of my taking care of this man's good in the wasteland so that there was no loss for anything which was his? He has only given me back evil for good. 22 says, may God's punishment be on David. If when morning comes, there is so much as a male of his people still living. And when Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her ass, falling down on her face before him, and falling at his feet, said, may the wrong be on me, my Lord. On me, let your servant say a word to you, and give ear to the words of your servant. Verse 24 is that one. We're going to verse 25. Let my Lord give no attention to Nabal, that good for nothing. For as his name is, so is he, a man without sense. But I, your servant, did not see the young men whom my Lord sent. 26 says, so now, my Lord, by the living God and by your living soul, seeing that the Lord has kept you from the crime of blood and from taking into your hands the punishment for your wrongs, may all your haters and those who would do evil to my Lord be like Nabal. 27 says, and let this offering which your servant gives to my Lord be given to the young men who are with my Lord. And may 28, and may the sin of your servant have forgiveness, for the Lord will certainly make your family strong. Because my Lord is fighting in the Lord's war, and no evil will be seen in you all your days. 29. And though a man has taken up arms against you, putting your life in danger, still the soul of my Lord will be kept safe among the band of the living with the Lord your God. And the souls of those who are against you, he will send violently away from him like stones from a bag. Now, Abigail is running it down to David, baby. And he is liking what he hears. Oh, yeah. So look. Stop. 30. And when the Lord has done for my Lord all those good things which he has said he would do for you and has made you a ruler over Israel, then you will have no cause for grief and the Lord's heart will not be troubled. My Lord's heart will not be troubled because you have taken life without cause and have yourself given punishment for your wrongs. And when the Lord has been good to you, then give a thought to your servant. That was verse 31. We go on to 32. And David said to Abigail, may the Lord, the God of Israel, be praised who sent you to me this day. Oh. 33 says, a blessing on your good sense and on you. You have kept me today from the crime of blood and from taking into my hands the punishment for my wrongs. 34, for truly by the living Lord, the God of Israel, who has kept me from doing you evil. If you had not been so quick in coming to me and meeting me by dawn, there would not have been one in the Baal's house so much as one male living. Do you hear me? Nobody was going to be living. 35 says, and David took from her hand her offering. And he said to her, go back to your house in peace. See, I have given ear to your voice and taken your offering with respect. 36 says, and Abigail went back to Nabal, and he was feasting in his house like a king. And Nabal's heart was full of joy, for he had taken much wine. So she said nothing to him till dawn came. 37 says, verse 37, and in the morning, when the effect of the wine was gone, Nabal's wife gave him an account of all these things, and all the heart went out of him, and he became like a stone. When she told him what David had planned for, yeah, Nabal gave up the ghost. He got stiff, couldn't move, yeah, just froze. And look, verse 38 says, and about 10 days after, the Lord sent disease on the ball and death came to him. 10 days later, 39 says, and David, hearing that Nabal was dead, said, may the Lord be praised, who has taken up my cause against Nabal for the shame which he put on me, and has kept back his servants from evil, and has sent on Nabal's head the reward of his evil doing. And David sent word to Abigail, desiring to take her as his wife, because he heard that wisdom rolling out her mouth. Yeah, I need this one here. I'm going to go ahead and marry this one because she got what I need. Yeah. So look, verse 40 says, and when David's servant came to Carmel, to Abigail, they said to her, David has sent us to you to take you to him as his wife. And she got up and going down on her face to the earth said, see, I'm ready to be a servant girl, washing the feet of the servants of my Lord. Then Abigail got up quickly and went on her ass with five of her young women after the men whom David had sent, and she became David's wife. We down to verse 43. And David had taken Ahinoam of Jezreel to be his wife. These two were his wives. 44 said, now Saul had given his daughter Michelle, David's wife, to Palti, the son of Laish in Gilead. Baby, that Saul was something serious. That's, ooh, that evil spirit used him to the bitter end. And thank you, Brother Lewis, for posting script as much as he could. And then we look at Nabal. He knew what David was capable of. Nabal knew David was about war. He was a bloody-handed man. David killed tens of thousands. No, Nabal, that was not what he was looking for that day. And he was going to kill everything that was living in the ball's house. And I saw he still breathing cruelty like Paul was against the Christian. He's still breathing cruelty against David. Now, he done said all of that. David, is that you, my son? Really, Saul? Yeah. But we'll go on to verse 26. If we don't get to it tomorrow because Pastor Howard is coming, then on Wednesday, if the Lord says the same, we'll get to verse 26 and continue on until we finish the first book of Samuel. But I want you to know that you're going to go through some things. There are going to be some trials, great trials that come for you. And notice too, fake always come before the real. But if you're willing to go on through the trial, when God is done, he's bringing you into a place, I'm going to say a place of power. This is what he did for David. David had to go through. Somebody thinking about the house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy. Okay, well, I know what you mean, because I was like that about it. I went on read and did what I know that day I was in 2 Samuel. And I'm looking crazy like, it's over with now. I got to find the next chapter here. But somebody wants the house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy. Somebody really never considered having the house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy. But you're going through some great trials. And the reason you're going through these great trials is God is going to give you the house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy. It's not what you're asking for. It's not what you're seeking after. But it's what he's got for you. He had that for you since the day you was born. But you've gone through some great trials and you're going through some, oh my goodness, you're going through some stuff. You don't know where the next payment comes. You don't know where the next meal. You don't know where the next car payment. You don't know nothing. Now I'm feeling a little sick. You're going through some trials because this is the down payment on your level of anointing because of where God is taking you. Yeah, is where he's taking you. David came from being a shepherd boy to becoming king. I don't think David never had in his mind, I'm going to be king once. I don't think David was out there with them sheep thinking like that. When I was over in the project, you know, I never had in mind that I would move to Fleming Island. That just wasn't in the mind. That wasn't in my mind. I could have got a house right across the street or two streets over and would have been all right. I could have got a house on the other end of the street and I would have been fine. But I went through some great trials and God had it in place. I drove that 1998 Ford Contour 9 years. The Ford Contour. I kept it serviced. I kept tires on it, you know, when time to change the tires. I should have put a back seat in there because the back seat was weighing out because I gave so many people rides. And people would ride in it and act like they was in a chauffeur limousine or Rolls Royce. Favor, that's the goodness of the Lord. And after the trials, he decided to give me a new truck. It was new to me. It was used, but it was new to me. Then in a couple of years, 2 years, he decided to give me a new truck, brand new, Toyota brand new, Toyota brand. Yeah. I'm going to call you back. So look, this is what I know today. If you're going through a trial, it's because of where you're going. It's because of your next place. It's because of your next place of where God is placing you. And can't nobody stop it. They can try to stop you, but it won't work. On the job, they done wrote all kind of little notes about you in your file. They done came to your desk. They done came to the floor where you're working. They done came in the yard where you're working. They done complained. They done grumbled. But you didn't go nowhere. You still got that job. And they had to give you an increase in pay because they raised everybody on the job. They gave everybody a raise. So you was included with the raise on the job. They can't stop your blessing. God ordained it the day he brought you forth. The day you were born, you already had the gifts. Some people have them, but they don't go the course to finish to the end to get what God got for you. They stop along the way. Oh, the trial too much. Oh, this too much for me. Oh, I got to have a drink. Oh, this too much for me. I got to hear. Oh, I got to have a toke of weed around here. Somebody got to help me. Oh, no, Oh, God, I pray for the husband that owns his own business, that we travel and he come to church with me. He received the Lord. Oh, he already saved and da-da-da-da-da. But it's taking God too long, honey. I'ma just go head on with little Johnny over here. I prayed, look here, I prayed and asked for a husband. Fake always come before real. And the first thing come my way and say, will you marry me? You jump on it. You ain't took your time and really began to seek God. You hyped up on the fact that you prayed for a husband. Here comes something. I'm just telling you. That's why we stipulate in our prayer, Lord, I want him to come, save, sanctify, Holy Ghost seal. God, you already know what I need and you know what I like. And Lord, I want him to have this and I want him to have that. If you don't see these stipulations that you put forth in your prayer, I don't care what he look like, what he sound like, what he say he'll do, back up. Don't. You about to be tricked. Look, I'm honest. I love men. Ever since I was a little girl, I'm sorry. I had nothing for boys. I had everything for men. I'm just honest. So look, now, once I got saved and filled with the Spirit and baptized in the Spirit and I got set me aside, he sanctified me. He set me aside unto himself. I prayed the prayer of faith, Lord, I want him to say this. I want him to say that. I want him to do this. I want him to come this way in this manner. That way, everything that was not according to that prayer, I could turn it off and turn it down. I could walk away and not give it another thought. And I love men. But that prayer has kept me safe. From 1993 to 2022, I've been safe. Now, if you couldn't heal, because I've been through some things now, had a bad marriage, then I had some bad boyfriends. If I could not be healed between 1993 and 2022, it wasn't no healing for me. I had to be healed. And when these type people, these type men didn't come along, oh, no, sir. God told me, I'm your husband. Well, guess what? I done been told some things myself, but I don't believe it. And if I don't believe it, I'm not going with it. Yeah, look at her, but I'm with you when you're right, grown men. You're bad. But yeah. Pray the prayer. And if they don't do what you prayed in your prayer, back away from it. Matter of fact, take a sprint. Go ahead and run. Faith comes before real. It will trick you real good. Because the devil heard you too. Plus the devil know what you like. His job is to steal, kill, and destroy. It's Jesus. Jesus is the one come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Oh, yeah. If you prayed for the house and you told God what you wanted in the house, anything else coming, don't do it because it's a trick. They come to scam you out the money, and you still got to pay the mortgage company back with a raggedy house. Oh, it's got the garden tub in there, but they ain't told you about the plumbing problem. Oh, it's got the chandelier hanging low in the dining room, but guess what? They ain't told you about the electrical problem. Oh, them hardwood floors look beautiful, but they didn't tell you there was a shaking in the foundation under their roots done grew up there. Faith comes before real. And for me, oh, I know she looked like you told God you wanted her to look. You say, let her be shaped like Beyonce. Let her be shaped like Halle Berry. Let her be shaped like what this girl name played in the mask. I could see her face, but I can't think her name. Carmen. Not Carmen San Diego. Or anyway, let her be shaped like Wonder Woman. Let her be shaped like this. Let her be shaped like this. Let her have legs like Tina Turner. Just one foolishness after another. Never said, God, let her have a heart that's for you. Lord, send the one that's going to cause me to draw closer to you. Get yourself ready now. You like shorter women. He'll send you one 8 feet tall, look like. Be ready. So you want to be specific in your prayers and wait for this to come along. Watch as well as pray to make sure what you prayed is coming along. Well, she got some of the traits. No, sir, she got to have them all. If not, you're going to need another healing in a few days because you're going to be done left her and never want to go back, and you're going to need a healing. And that's a big problem. We go through stuff in relationship and we don't allow God to heal us. We jump out the frying pan into the fire. It takes God a while to heal. You got to learn to bring your flesh under some. I can't be without a woman. I can't be without a man. You're lying. You was born by yourself. You came into the world without anybody other than Jesus. He allowed you to come forth. He was there at the birthday party, at your first birthday party. When you was first born, he was there. He made sure you came through. But we want what we want. We don't want to go through nothing. We don't want to go through no trials. Wait. Oh, no, I'll have patience to wait. I prayed for that. At 2 o'clock, 5 minutes after two, it didn't come. Oh, no, I got to do something now. No, you don't. Sit still. Stand still and know that I am God. Stop giving your flesh more than the spirit. Stop giving your flesh more than you giving God. Run around and tell me how much you love him. Run around doing all the worldly stuff, but you don't take no time to do what's godly. God got to bring you to your knees before you do something godly. You had plenty of time to be godly. You wasn't thinking about no godly stuff. God started removing things. God started putting things, adding things, shuffling things around. Because he got a purpose and a plan for your life. He had that house on. And see, a lot of times we settling for stuff. And sometimes God give us a little bit so we can taste and see that he's good. And when he do that, we blame it on credit, our job making more money. We put everything to it, but he moved. After we, I ain't talking about the people, after we give it to the credit and the mortgage and the job and then we tell him, oh, God bless me with a house. Lord, I thank you. I didn't have to get no credit right. I didn't have a job. I had Jesus. I had faith. I had trust in him. I had his word. That's all I had. That's all I needed. Oh, Lord, that was more than enough. He went beyond the call of duty, way beyond. Everything I had was free in the project. I told God I wanted it free over here. Everything he did. Before I left, I said, Lord, everything in here, I want to give it away. The only thing I want to take is personal papers, legal papers, and a few sentimental values. I want to take those things, but the furniture, the pots, the pans, the washer, the dryer, I want to give that away. The brand new bedroom suit Shante had just bought me. I moved in April. December, she had just bought me a brand new living room suit. And I didn't sit on it much because I'm always at my desk. And I wasn't really watching TV. Gave all of that away. Had the chest of drawers, the dresser, the head frame, foot board frame, the frame of the bed, the night, everything had to go. I said, and Lord, when I go in, I want all brand new stuff. I came in the house with all brand new stuff in the new house. Oh, it's a used house, but it was new to me. Could have had one built. I was just kind of anxious, you know, to get on in here. So I didn't want to wait, you know, 6 months for a house to be built, 3 months or whatever it took. I wanted to come on in. And he blessed me to do that. But I went through the trials to get here. See, people see your glory, but they don't know your story. I went through the storm and lots of rain to get here. You see me come every morning and do what God would have me to do here, but you don't know my story. You don't know what I done went through the day before. You don't know what I done gone through that morning. Trials come to make us strong. I couldn't stand without them trials coming. I wouldn't know how to handle stuff because I couldn't handle the trial. I didn't get the lesson that God had for me. I'm screaming and yelling, Lord, get me out of this. Lord, help me. Now, some trials I praised my way through. He allowed me to praise my way through the trial. And he gave me the lesson. He showed me. I could see myself in Birmingham, Alabama right now. I could see the senior bishop up, and I'm heading over to the right corner. He said, go on in that right corner, Barbara Mack, and get your new furniture. It's right over there in that corner. Go on over there and praise God. Yeah. Then it come back later on. You leaving. You got to go. God is sending you back to Florida. See, God know the very intent of my heart. Florida was where my family was. I was in Birmingham, but my immediate family was in Florida, in Jacksonville. My nieces, you know, the two that come up in my house every since they were 6 months old. The children, my adult children and my younger children, you know, were in Jacksonville. I wanted to come home, wasn't saying it, and loved Birmingham, Alabama, and was enjoying every minute of it. But I had to come here. I had to come back home. Went to Alaska, went to Missouri, went to Tennessee, Arkansas, somewhere everywhere to do the will of him. But guess what? He blessed me to come back home because that's where I wanted to be. Lived in Orlando about 4 years. Tallahassee. I done been some places now. Yeah. Oklahoma. Texas. I done been some places. But God blessed me to come back home because this is where I wanted to be. Beaumont, Texas. Weary Gate, Texas. Yeah, I done been some places. I done ate the good buffalo fish. I love it. But God blessed me to come back home because that's my heart's desire. When I got back here, I couldn't find the church that I was used to. I couldn't find a place where people was coming to learn the word of God and praise God. And they weren't just praising him because they needed a house or they wanted the house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy. They wanted to drive a new car. They wanted a better paying job. Now, I wasn't used to that. I was used to people running up in there and giving God praise because he was worthy. I was used to people coming up in there hugging me. And some people, I was used to the fellas coming up in there and grabbing me around the waist and we danced at the same time, my dancing partner. I was used to Robert sitting next to me on the front row. And when I go off with the praise, he tried to help me. I couldn't find that here. I couldn't find the love that Bishop taught. They could say what they wanted to say about Charles C. Woods. He taught me love. He taught me how to be down to earth. Don't you ever think more of yourself than you ought to. Serve in love. If you can't serve it in love, Barbara, don't serve it at all. I became his assistant. There were many jealous people, but I didn't even have a brain enough to pay that a whole lot of attention. He brought it to my attention because I could care less. You lived outside of Beaumont in Simply. Gone, Louis. Louis is a big ball of shot caller. He done been some places. He was in the military, I think. Yeah. So, you know, he did some traveling. And him and Sherry, they used to go on these, what they call it? What they call it when you camping trips. Yeah. But God is good to us if we will be good to him. Go to him for what you want. Go to him for what you need. Believe that God gonna do it for you. Do you know you're precious in his sight? You are very, very special to him. You may not be special to the world. You may not be special to your neighbor. You may not no longer be special to your husband or wife, your children or grandchildren. I don't care. But for the rest of your life, you will always be very special to Almighty God. He so loved you, he gave his son to die for you. And your trials come to make you strong. It's not a punishment. It's not because of what you did in 1951. It's not because you did because of the family you come from. My family cursed. Mine is not cursed. You're going to go through trials. Some trials you go through is to pray for others. If you see your family, you feel like they jacked up, pray for them. Don't go to making excuses. I used to do that. I used to say, well, see, I don't fool with them because, see, they this and that. No, pray for them and still don't fool with them, but pray for them. Yeah. We got to bow down to God. We got to let this flesh go so he can live in us. We got to let our crazy thoughts in us go and seek God and say, Lord, give me a heart after you. Let my heart long and seek you. Nothing else. If it's a husband you need, he's going to bring him. If it's a wife you need, he's going to bring her. If it's children you need, I didn't say won't, I said need, he's going to bring them. If it's a better paying job, he will bring it. Some things we have to go get, and then some things God will bring. But we want to help him in the process. He don't need your help. That's why you're messed up in many ways and many things happen to you. And you're not happy. You're not satisfied, really. You settled for her, but you could have got what you really wanted, but you couldn't because you're all over you and you're all into you and you're into your feelings real deep. Oh, go on, Brother Louis. You my man. You know you my man. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. He the curse. He the cursed father. We got to take our burdens to the Lord and leave them there. But we got to take self-inventory daily as often as we can remember. Take self-inventory. Oh, yeah. Listen, Sister Jerry, I have a dedication to you and a shout out. Wait a minute, I got to find it down here. I think it's on the bottom. No, that's not the one. Wait a minute, bear with me. It's way back up there. Here it is. All right, this is dedicated to you from Sister Dot. And the shout out is God bless you, woman. Yeah, so take a listen to this.
See, God's got a purpose, yes, and I know he's able. I've got to see in the ground that he's blessing, no more stressing. I've got to see in the ground, now I'm knowing and it's showing. I see for grace, for favor. It only works when we all do it.
Just the radio. This is Jesus in the Morning Radio, spreading the good news of Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sister Jerry, wasn't that a beautiful surprise? I think that was just sweet and nice. Yes, I saw Brother Frank somewhere down here. All right, good morning, Brother Frank. God bless you, sir. I'm bowing down, sir, to you, His Majesty, Brother Frank. God bless you. So good to see that 111 this morning. I thank God for you. All right, Sister Jerry, hold on 1 second. Let me bring Brother Frank right in here right quick. Good morning, Brother Frank. How are you?
I'm blessed. Good morning. How are you and everyone on the line?
I am excited to see that 111 again. Yes, sir.
Amen. I keep me up in prayer. And everything, and I keep all of you up in prayer as well. And again, good morning to each and every one. And I was listening to that song, and I love that song. I didn't know who sang the song, and even know the words to it, but I love that song. And it's all good. God bless all of you, and I pray that the Lord watch over us and keep us all until Jesus come back. Amen. Be blessed.
Amen. You too, Brother Frank. And keep me up on the graduation.
Okay, I graduate on the 25th of June.
Okay,
and
I got you.
I will send you, I will have them send your invitation through your email, and you can distribute it out for me if you would.
I will.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll send
and
you.
Look, I got
send
you.
One. I have them sent it to the email that you send me.
Okay, and I got you for the graduation gift.
Okay. Okay.
I think I'm sending two of your favorite things. Well, it might be three.
Amen.
More. Yeah, I got you though. I got you. What
Amen.
The day is Monday, bro, Frank.
Yes.
Is it the weekend? Look for it because it takes usually 4 days to get to you in Nevada.
Okay. Then.
Yeah,
okay, I understand.
Okay.
If I'm not for sure, just remember. I can't do no nuts anymore until I get some teeth.
Okay, I got you. They
but
off
I can
lid.
Do everything else now. Okay.
you can rumble with a sweet potato and a bean. I see right now.
That's what I thought. Okay. Amen. God bless
right,
y'all.
God bless
I love
you.
All of you. Take care.
All right.
And
love
I got
you
to
too,
get back to trying to get everything squared away. Amen.
Okay. All right. Bye bye.
All right.
yeah, bro, Frank. Every now and then I used to sit in a sweet potato. I'd sit in some lima beans. We all got together and sit in 4 or 5 bags of the good lima beans, and he was so excited. And someone sent him some sweet potatoes and lima beans. He can't eat the nuts no more because I used to send him nuts every now and then. He loved them. But all right, Sister Jerry, I'm coming right at you right now, sister. Wasn't that beautiful, Sister Jerry?
Oh, that was perfect. That was so beautiful. Because, you know, I kept saying, this is my season, Lord. But I don't rush God. Because every season you still got to go through some trials and tribulations. The grass don't stay green always. So thank you, Sister Dot. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Brother Frank. Congratulations on getting ready to graduate. Good morning, Brother Louis, for helping Sister Barbara. And you know, there's a lot of people around us that are so jealous of us, and we be looking at them thinking, what's wrong with you? I'm that same person. I'm that same Jerry. I'm the same Jerry that used to ride or die with you. Now you don't even speak to me no more. Cookie, you stop speaking to me. Why? What did I do? Because I'm that same woman. But I look different to her because I don't go to the Mark 5 Club. I don't even know if it exists anymore.
It does
I
not.
I don't do the line dance no more. I think I don't forget how to do it. I mean, it's a lot of things I don't do anymore. So I've lost a few friends along the way. But I thank God for the ones I picked up. I truly thank God for them.
Amen.
So thank you, Sister Dot. She
and, made my day. Wait a minute, y'all. I have to get over here, too. And Sister Dot said, tell Jerry good morning, blessings for me, please. She said, good morning, blessings to you.
Good morning, Sister Dot. I enjoyed her so much when I met her. I didn't know what to do.
Okay.
I just enjoyed her so much when I met her.
Yes, she
this
is very...
This is my season. Meet new friends and go a new direction.
Amen.
And I
she
thank
is
God
real,
for it.
Yeah, Dr. Goodman is real sweet, Jerry. And I've known her a while now, and she just gets better with time. And I won't say what I tell her every now and then because I don't want nobody, you know, whatever. But anyway, I thank God for her. I thank God for sending her my way.
Yeah,
her daughter is Sion. And when you hear me talk about my buddy or you hear me talk about Pastor David Jackson, that's Sion's husband. And baby Kate is Sion's daughter. So, you know, we just thank God for people like this that he put in your life and they stay. You know, God bless them to be there. And I can't have a birthday or nothing like that and I don't get a card in the mail. back in the day before COVID came, they used to would come up here to me and take me out for the birthday, wherever, in little ranky-dank places. Little ranky-dank spots, they just go right with me to the little spot, and we enjoy. Out to Cheddar's, they would go with, take me out to Cheddar's. I remember one year, I got my book right here, right now. Pastor David brought me a journal, a pink journal. And it's good to know these kind of people exist still in the world, givers, and they full of love, and they about the Lord's business, and they trying to grow in God. Yeah, it's good to know that. And so I was, when she asked me to play that for you, I was not surprised. As a matter of fact, I got excited. I said, look at Dot being the Dorothy Goodman way. Yeah.
She was so, it was such a refreshing to meet a new person that understood the Lord like I did. And we shared our pictures, and it seemed like I knew her all my life. I really enjoyed that visit.
Amen.
Yeah. I have one other friend. She lives in New Jersey. You may not know. I've never seen her except for pictures we've exchanged with each other. But there's not a holiday or when I'm sick or something, I won't get a card in the mail. Oh, if I decide I don't want to do this no more, she say, Jerry, get your butt up and let's get it done.
Mm-hmm.
So there are good people out there in the world.
It is. It is. Still good people. Still good people out here. I tell you, God has blessed me. And when I met Irene, that was truly a blessing, too. He sent her my way. And we have had some wonderful conversations. And I said, Lord, you are a way maker. Yeah, you are a true blessing. And God will give you some good friends. Yeah. Because, see, if they're your friend, they for you. They want you to excel. They want you to exceed. You know, they want to help you with whatever it is you have going on any way that they can. Sometimes they may not have money or they may not can just physically be there. But the prayer, anything go on, we can pray about it. And if you pray, believe in God and trust in him, the only way it won't work out, it's not going to work for your good. But if it will work for your good, God is doing it for you. If he do it for them who are not proclaiming him, how much more will he do it for you? He said, if the world know how to give good gifts, how much more he know?
So,
yeah, we just got to believe God, trust him, and walk this walk. Yeah, and it's already all right in Jesus' name.
Yes, it is already all right. And thank you for the lesson this morning, Sister Barbara. Great lesson.
God bless you. God bless you. All right. I'm going to dedicate this one to you, Brother Frank. And I want you to go and stomp over there. It's all right. It's all right. I'm going to dedicate this one to you. I love it.
For those of you that think that gospel music has gone too far, you think we've gotten too radical with our message. Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory! Woo! You better put them hands together and act like you know up in here. Chief Peace!
Put your hands together.
if you don't mind, I feel like having a little church in here. Cause the devil is alive, because he's a Messiah, but it's another level. Come on. So, can you help me?
When I think about the goodness and the fullness of God, make me thankful, pity the hateful, I'm grateful. The Lord brought me through this far. I'm trying to be cute when I praise him, raise him high. I keep it live, beat bumping, keep him jumping, make the Lord feel something. Ain't no shame in my game, God's property. Hitting big with church, ain't no stopping me. Now I'm done.
Not just for your ears, but also for your spirit. Jesus in the Morning Radio. And you're with Barbara.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, stomp. Yeah, they say stomp on the devil head. Woo, and it's all right today in Jesus' name. Listen, we have a few minutes. If there's anyone have a few words they would like to say, please feel free to press that number one and come in this morning. And say what you feel. You may have a prayer request or something else. Feel free to press that number one. I kind of somewhat got away with the time, but we yet have time that if you have something you would like to say, press that number one and come in. And good morning to everyone on the roll call list here. Good morning, Irene. And good morning, Sister Dorothy Goodman and Sister Mary Ann and Sister Simone and Sister Melanie Rose and Sister Angela in California. I was looking at Angela's stuff yesterday, how over on Venmo. And I said, yeah, Angela used to do this. I ain't heard from her. But I thank God for her. I thank God for her. Hallelujah. Make the beautiful wedding stuff. Oh, yeah. Good morning to you, Sister Laura, my God, baby, Sister Lexus, Sister Lachelle. Sister Andrea Spinner, good morning, Sister Andrea. I got to call you. I know it. I'm bad these days. Good morning to you, Sister Andrea Philadelphia, Sister Keisha, Sister Rita, Sister Sion, Sister Angela Foote, Sister Anna Lee Foote. And I think they was coming to Ocala this week. I'm waiting to hear back from her. And I was going to try and run up there and meet with them right quick. And maybe have a little lunch or something. Yeah. Hallelujah. Good morning to you, Sister Kim Hawk, Sister Michelle, Sister Patricia Fluker, Sister Lisa, and Sister Yvonne, and Apostle Boatwright didn't make it today, but God bless you. Good morning. Good morning. God bless you. Good morning to you, Brother Louis, Brother Jermaine, Brother Anthony, Brother D, Brother Mike Hawks, Brother George West Perry, Brother Lee Hamilton, Pastor David Jackson, Brother Cal, Brother Justin Gilmore, Brother Frank again, and Brother Marquez Griffin. All right, now, Barbara, do the roll call. God bless each of you this morning, and I hope I didn't leave anyone out. And I thank God for all of the supporters who supported me on raising the $1,600. I give God all the glory for each of you. And I thank God for you. I was thinking about that yesterday. And you know, that just lets you know little is much with God. And my prayer is that he will multiply every dime back to you 100-fold. All right, Brother Louis, God bless you. God bless you. Have a wonderful day, you and Chevy. Yeah. God will multiply back. Oh, there go Pastor, Apostle Boatwright. Good morning, Apostle. God bless you this morning. Yeah. He will multiply every dime back. He's a way maker. Mm-hmm. Heart fixer, mind regulator. He's all of that. Hallelujah. He is time. He everything we need and more. Oh, yeah. He's that kind of God. So I'm thankful this morning for all he has done, what he's doing right now, and what he's going to do. Great and mighty thing. So listen, if no one else have anything they would like to say, I will pray us out this morning, and we pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Another episode of Jesus in the Morning. I'm just messing up in the letter, Apostle. Don't touch nothing. Okay, now, there you go. A-T-O-S-T-L-E. I wasn't going to be defeated right then. I wasn't going to be defeated. All right. If no one have anything they would like to say, I'll pray us out. Again, we pray that the Lord bring us back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Pastor Bunny Howell of Orlando Outreach Ministries will be here tomorrow. And excellent speaker. She used to be the co-host of Jesus in the Morning. She and I go back a ways. And when we first started, I didn't know what I was doing. When I first started, I knew nothing. And I saw her and she was coming to listen. And she came in and we talked. I said, oh, you're a preacher. She said, yeah, I like to preach that woman to death every morning. Y'all hit me. Because I didn't know what I was doing, but we was putting the gospel out there. We was spreading the news of Jesus. Yeah, as time went on, God bless me. Blog Talk changed. I don't know if it changed staff or not, but Blog Talk changed over the years. People was trying to get me to leave Blog Talk. Oh, don't stay over there with them. They don't know what they're doing. They got too many kinks in their system. This, that. But when I started off in 2010, Blog Talk Radio was good to Barbara. Yeah, Blog Talk Radio was wonderful to me. And so I said, no, I'm not leaving these people. They've been good to me. I couldn't pay the bill. They worked it. It's different now. Yeah, everybody after that money. Now, I'm talking about they don't want electric companies. 2 months, you better go ahead and pay your bill if you can now before you be in the dark. Because when I tell you, they're hustling after that money. They put you, give you a two-month bill when you only owe 1 month. Hustling that money. Oh, yeah. All right, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for all that has been said and done. Thank you for your word this morning. But Father, yet again today, your word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. And forever, oh God, thy word is settled in heaven. And as we depart this morning, Father, sanctify us through thy truth, for thy word is true. Help us to remember what we picked up today, oh God, from your word. Give us wisdom. And help us to remember what we learned in your word today. Lord, we can be down in the valley, but the trials come so that it can help us to get to the top. And it didn't come to punish us, but it comes so that we can live a better life before you, so that we can be stronger in you, so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil, all with the whole arm. God, we thank you this morning for all you've done already, what you're doing right now, and what you're going to do. And Lord, as we're departing, bless our going out this morning. Bless our coming in and meet the need in our lives according to your riches and glory by your son, Christ Jesus. Father, we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It is well, it is well. I can hear that. It is well. That just comes. It is well, it is well. I don't care what you're going through. Your tribe come to make you strong. The Spirit of the Lord says, it is well. Hallelujah. So I know that that is it. It is well. Hallelujah. And I thank the Lord for being well with my soul and everything that concerned me today. It is well. Hallelujah. So we're going to this last song of the morning. And I thank God for it. I love this song.
Commonplace, all kinds of diseases, people are slipping away.